The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Second hour is here. We had a legal expert in the first hour. I mentioned some of the negativity, or maybe not so much negativity, but shifting in perspectives, perhaps, from people that run college athletics. It has been suggested several times that maybe spring is the answer. Sandy Barber, one of the more respected ADs in the country, he is from Penn State, said this afternoon that going to spring would be a last resort. He said everything is still on go for the fall. He said one of the biggest challenges of spring, and it's probably the biggest one in my mind, is the proximity to next season and, frankly, a second loss spring ball. Overcomable if perhaps we're willing to have a shortened season, again, in the category of something is better than nothing. That may not be a problem at all. Conferences are considering this. There is speculation the Ivy League, not exactly the barometer of college football in this country, could be announcing as early as next week that they are done with this fall and could move to the spring. But many people are debating it. There are many issues with it, especially the better players saying, not a chance in you know where I'm going to be playing in April on the eve of the NFL draft. But you are certainly, this has been the week. I had not heard spring football mentioned in about 6 weeks. This week, everyone seems to be mentioning it, and the question is why. I think it's self-explanatory. Let's get back to the calls and check out Jerry, who is in Georgia. Hey, Jerry, thanks for the call.
Hey, Paul, I appreciate you taking my call today.
Of course.
Just wanted to pass on some good news for a change.
Well, that's great.
Last Friday, I got a call from my brother-in-law. Seems that his mother, which would be my mother-in-law, had lived. She was 90 years old in a nursing home. She had contracted the COVID, and they had moved her to intensive care at the local hospital there. So this Friday, I called him back late Saturday and asked him if they've heard anything. And he said, well, he's waiting on a call from the doctor that the nurse has talked with him and it doesn't sound good. And her vitals are real low. It was all gloom and doom at that point. So I had not heard anything over the weekend. And I was hoping that when I call back today that good news, I mean that no news would be good news. And so it was good news. Seems they had asked him permission to use this experimental drug. Is it Rim or something? I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're right.
Anyway, and he said today she was a different person. They were moving her out of the hospital completely back to not the nursing home she was in, but one where she could recover and be in quarantine, you know. So just wanted to pass on a little good news.
Well, that is fantastic. It's a drug that they are using right now in severe situations, and they are getting great results. And I am really glad to hear that. Well, Jerry, thanks. We haven't heard much good news lately. That is extremely good news.
You have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Let's talk to Dr. Will, who's in New York. Hello, Doc.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
Okay. And first of all, just a disclaimer, I'm a PhD, not a medical doctor. So while I understand quantitative analysis and stuff like that, I don't profess to be a medical clinician. But
I understand.
As I kind of listen and think about COVID and listening to the coach talk about he was optimistic. I think that it's going to be difficult for, you know, high school teams and even collegiate teams that don't have the resources to really start and finish a season because COVID, there's so many factors that contribute to the spread and you don't control those variables. And, you know, even as the NBA goes in, at least in a bubble, you know, they are controlling as many variables as they can. And they have to actually, I think, ultimately steel themselves to have that resolve of and predetermine what their response is once individuals become infected with COVID, even once they're inside the bubble, and then how far they're willing to take that. And that's what's controlling the variables. But I listen to the coach say what he's going to do in terms of they're washing their hands, they're doing this, they're doing that. But all of those kids at the end of practice are out in the community. And quite frankly, based on what I've heard, certain states with certain predilections are responding to calls to engage in social distancing, wear masks, et cetera, in dramatically different ways. I don't want to get into the politics of it, but if you're not in a bubble, then you have a lot of uncontrolled variables.
And let me ask you this, as somebody who does deal with numbers. I mean, all of a sudden, I saw today the mayor of various communities, governors, the president even said today, I may wear a mask. I mean, it's never too late for anything, but in terms of what we're talking about here, you can look at the numbers and project, I think. It seems like this mask-wearing rage has come very, very late.
Yeah, and you're right. I was talking with a friend, and they ask about what does R equal 1.22 mean, and basically it means one person can infect 1.22 others. But what it means in a larger scale in terms of the numbers is we talk about what they call exponential spread. That's such right. So if you remember in high school, you square the number 5 and you get 25. Sure. So I took the number 5, just took a random number, and I raised it by 1.22, which is just like squaring a number. And I did that after the 7th iteration. The number 5 had risen to 640 some odd. Now, in their modeling, they're using a lot of different things to get these numbers. But basically what it really means is if you continue to allow spread to go on from a numerical perspective unabated, then the remedy becomes so much more severe. It's like saying, change your brake pads. You don't want to change your brake pads? You'll change the brake pads eventually anyway, and you'll change the rotor. Don't get a filling. You'll get a filling anyway, or you'll get a root canal or an extraction. So this is hard medicine that we're talking about, but the virus is a non-sentient entity. It doesn't care about that. It doesn't understand politics, ideology, left, right, red, blue, purple. It just does what a virus does. And without a remedy, without intervention, it will continue. And whatever needs to be done to bring it under control will only be more severe tomorrow and the next day and the day after than it is today.
Well, in just looking at numbers, yeah, I'm looking up at the news, and 37 states today have increased cases, 11 flat, only 2 are declining, and you may be in one of those. You've heard the projections from Fauci and others. I mean, they're not just making these numbers up.
I would tend to agree. I would tend to say that his I apologize for cutting you off, but I would tend to say based on the numbers, I would tend to say that left undebated, if you just take what that spread is above 1 and you start raising that, you can put that in the Microsoft Excel. You don't need a fancy, spreadsheet or statistical application.
And by the way, if you're looking at these current documents, when does that number start going down, though? Because I bring that up because
it goes down when R is less than 1. When R is less than 1, it goes down. Matter of fact, I took R, and I took an R of 0.8, and at the 7th iteration, it was down from 5 to 1. So, yes, it does go down, but it doesn't go down in and of itself. It doesn't just have a natural downward slope. There has to be some intervention.
So we've seen a 75% jump in daily cases in 2 weeks. I'm just trying to you're the PhD. If you could just – We're talking about a 2 to 4 week timetable here for college football starting on time. What would you project would happen in the next 2 to 4 weeks?
It's going to go up, and it's going to go up exponentially.
Okay.
Whatever
so
there's no way this number's cut. Whatever your R is, that rate of infection is going to go up exponentially. Look at where we're at with deaths and these kind of things just in the summer, and deaths being a lag, not in the summer, but a couple of months ago. We're only at 60,000-70,000. Now we're at double that.
Right.
And that trend is going to continue to...
Even though the deaths are going down right now, would you expect that to reverse?
Well, I wanted to look into that because one person told me it was the death rate. So we got to be careful. Is it aggregate deaths or is it just the death rate? Because now your testing has increased. You're testing more young people. So you may simply have what you might call a denominator level effect where the death rate is going down because the numerator, the number of tests has increased, but the actual number of deaths is relatively safe. I don't know. I haven't looked into that. It's right down here. I'll show you. Yeah, it's right there. You see it, the grading. That's it. Yeah.
I'm not sure
there,
what's
Paul?
Going on here, but anyway. Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I had to run outside. So that is also kind of a possibility. A lot like if you're doing an audit on a bank and you're getting too many errors. And then they say, well, hey, you're something wrong with your books. Well, one thing you do is, you know, pull more invoices. If you pull more invoices and then you don't get any more errors, well, the rate has actually gone down, but the number of errors is still the same. I don't know if I'm not speaking a little fast, but that's like kind of...
No, I understand what you're saying. Well, I'll tell you what, do this, stay with us and stay in touch with us, because I really would like to hear more as we get closer to the critical moment. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. More calls, more guests, a lot to do. The mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, coming up in the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. It is Wednesday. Can't even remember what day it is, but I think it's Wednesday. Rick Haro is joining us, our sports business expert. And Rick, nothing going on in sports, huh? Good afternoon.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Hey, I'm confused as well. Nothing going on in sports. I'm coming back home after like 13 days on the road in my hermetically sealed BMW bubble, and I can't wait to go lock myself down with my dog over the July 4th holiday in Florida, doing nothing but watching reruns of games 7 years ago. Sounds exciting.
I'm intrigued by someone who's traveling these days. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, I had some meetings. I had a couple of virtual speeches that required some personal meetings. So, you know, my daughter's up at Harvard and the other one's in Washington. And rather than flying, I sprayed everything in my car. Anybody coming up to me, I would spray them and, you know, lock myself in. And frankly, it's a really good thing to go 6 or 7 hours a day and travel all over to the top of Mount Washington, which was not the business part. Now to Florida, I'll be back home in about 2 hours. And I feel safe. I just didn't want to get on a plane. Personal preference.
I saw on the news, I happen to live in a hub city, and the airport where I live looked like it was jammed to the core. And I'm thinking, I don't want to accuse these people of being crazy, but I'm going to accuse them of being crazy. I mean, who would go to a crowded airport right now?
Well, and especially with middle seats not being empty and then with people kind of standing around. And, you know, the people who you worry about are the people who are the outliers anyway. So I guess it takes one cough or one sneeze, you know, and I've been social distancing for, you know, 60 some odd years. People don't like me, so it's a very easy thing for me to do.
I know you. I've met you.
Yeah, of course you have.
It just, the only thing that ticks me off is I thought I'd always, you know, sat in the window in the aisle because I thought that was the safer place, and then by having your nose up against a window, and now I'm told that that will never happen again.
No, and the nose up against the window or the aisle, I'm not sure, because you know, masks are fine, but if you're next to somebody for, you know, 2.5 hours and you're really next to them, I don't know. I'm going to evoke anything less than 6 hours from point A to point B by driving. I'm going to drive it because, you know, listen, I've got Sirius on the radio. You know, I did my jocks interview today, by the way, at 12:30, which I'm doing. I do you at 4:15. What could be better?
Man. That's hard to top that. I have to agree with you, Ray. Okay, so we were talking about about liability earlier with a lawyer. Because I'm just curious, as somebody who's dealt with all professional sports all your life and every other level of sports leagues, tell us a little bit about the liability that not only the leagues deal with, but, you know, in relation to players, but fans.
Yeah, and here's, I'm sure lawyers have an uncommon ability, being one, to jazz it all up and make it complicated, but, you know, when you look at the back of a baseball ticket, it says that they don't assume the liability of getting hit by a foul ball. You've seen all that stuff on the back of it if you care to read it. Well, that ain't true if it goes through a defective net or if the net's not put up wide enough. So the bottom line is that you can assume the responsibility of acting in a reasonable way. If you're not acting in a reasonable way, you can't sign away your rights just because you get somebody to sign it as a condition to enter a facility. And so, just like UCLA with Chip Kelly having some issues with the players over are they protected, which is the health department's issue, not the athletic department's. But still, signing a waiver doesn't guarantee anything. It just highlights the issue and makes it kind of more serious. But it's a device that lawyers use to put big words on a piece of paper. But you should be doing the reasonable stuff anyway to protect your fans, your executives, your players from unreasonable opportunities to contract coronavirus, regardless of whether you make somebody sign a piece of paper or not.
Rick, I realize nobody knows too much right now, but every sport has unprecedented challenges. We talk a lot about college sports, and I think maybe they have the biggest, but as we watch this unfolding here next four weeks or so, when everything seems to be coming back, I mean, what are your thoughts, and do you think they can pull it off?
Crunch time. That's my legal analysis, because, you know, you can talk for the last month and a half. Everybody did 3 months. Well, should it be happening? Should it not? On Jocks today, we talked about the SEC. Who's coming back? Well, we're safe in Alabama. Well, yeah, maybe not. But look at Florida. Look at the spikes. Look at Texas A&M. Look at the spikes there. 2 weeks from now, it might be entirely different. So I guess all I can say is that the facility people are doing their job of making these facilities as safe as you possibly can be under the circumstances. 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 fans, the executives need to protect the players who test positive. Then you've got the 14-day quarantine question about how successful you can be quarantining, you know, football players. Listen, NBA basketball players, they don't play defense anyway, so, you know, it's fairly easy to keep their hands off them. But in all seriousness, you've got to make absolutely sure that you're doing the right thing. And if you're doing the right thing, most of this situation now in the next 5 weeks, Paul, is almost completely out of control of the people that used to matter, which are the sports executives, and in control of the health officials, and maybe, unfortunately, in control of the politicians.
And finally, of all these, which ones would you be watching the closest in terms of a roadmap to the what will be next, the NFL and college?
Yeah, okay. Well, so first, baseball. They got 32 bubbles they've got to worry about, unlike hockey and basketball and soccer, who are at least going to one city and locking it down in a big hotel. College, you know, will happen a couple weeks later with camps. I'm watching the remote learning schools and seeing if they're going to let the athletes back. I'm looking at the conferences that don't have football dominate them like the Ivy League? What's going to happen with them first? And then obviously the NFL, they've canceled the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame festivities this week, this year. Is it a peeling off week at a time, or is it Roger Goodell staying quiet, as he should until he has the facts, and saying, look, we're not going to start at X time, but we're going to start. And then the issue is what happens when, not if, some of these athletes get tested. Everybody doesn't need to go crazy. There just needs to be a system in place that allows the sports to continue on TV and let fans in eventually, because you want to preserve the TV money. There's so many issues. The beauty of this is we can have the same questions asked by you next week, and I know you will, and they can be entirely different answers, and I'll still sound good.
Before you go, by this time next week, the Ivy League will have made a decision. You're an Ivy Leaguer. What are you hearing from Harvard, Yale, and your friends everywhere else?
Yeah, I listened to it. I was there last week. And Robin Harris was one of the first people to call the Clarion call and say, we're not having the Ivy League tournament March 9, 10, and 11, 24 hours before everybody else shut down. So their board of trustees makes decisions by the university presidents that are totally related to kids on campus and not necessarily related to athletics. Now, the obvious comparison between that and the ACC, SEC, you know, the Power Five. So my sense is that they may push it back and play a limited schedule, but maybe not start it until beginning of October. That's the current thought, but let me caveat it by saying it may change by 5 o'clock today.
Rick, thanks. Be safe.
You too, man. I'll talk to you next week.
Rick Harrell, new reality show, Driving Across America. We'll take a break. The mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, later. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We said we are now in the era of cancellations, postponements, and TBD. We had the SEC... they haven't announced it, but it's been reported they will not have their media days on time. We had the Hall of Fame game from the NFL called off. It's being reported now at this hour that the NFL is going to condense its 4 preseason games to 2. Probably a good idea. They never really needed 4 in the first place. But week 1 and week 4 are going to be scrapped. So it will essentially be cut in half. That is coming out officially tomorrow, but unofficially right now. Let's continue with more phone calls. John is in New Orleans. John, great to have you back. Thank you.
Hey, glad to be back. I've said this before, but and I don't like to call in the shows, really. I love to listen to the show. Hate to stay on hold, but I feel compelled to try this one more time. Because sometimes you even have guests on that are doctors. We're throwing titles around. I'm a VP.
Sure. You still there, John?
Hi, John. Everybody can have their opinion. You there?
Yeah. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what you heard. I said I didn't like to call in the shows normally, but I just cannot not call in when a doctor starts spouting off some things that just are not true. I'm a VP of a hospital system, has over 32 hospitals in it, and I want everybody to hear this number. Please listen. Pay attention to these numbers. it's not about the factor of the positives going up, which makes the death factor less. Yes, the positives have gone up, which makes us more comparable to the regular flu, but the death number stands alone. It is going down. It's going down. In every hospital system across America, the deaths are going down. So not only is the factor going down, which compares it more to the flu, the death is less cancel this cancel culture and get back to living. Please listen to this number. Don't ignore it. Keep repeating it, because the other side of folks are trying to have you to ignore this number and get scared and have this fear so that we don't live and we don't continue with the normal things. If you are a college athlete, the odds of you getting killed in a car wreck going back and forth to practice is going to be greater than you dying from the coronavirus. That's the bottom line. Are we going to cancel a season because of those factual numbers? I surely hope not.
Well, John, thank you. I do remember hearing from you really recently, and I'm glad to hear, because we all can be overwhelmed, you're dealing. I'm well aware of what a VP at a hospital is dealing with every day, especially during something like this. Thank you for the call. Jonathan is in Memphis. Hello, Jonathan.
Yes, sir. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I am doing great.
Straight
thank you.
Out of Memphis. I know that's where you're from.
Born and raised.
And yes, sir. And I've got a few things to talk about. And one of them is it's sad that we've got to mix politics with sports. That's one of the things, you know, I feel like sports is a thing that unites us, and mixing them is not good.
Yeah, I will tell you, I've tried so hard on this program to keep politics out, and I will say in the last 5 weeks, it's been impossible.
It's been impossible, and one of the things I'd like to mention is we watch a lot of SEC football. I happen to be an Auburn fan, War Eagle. But I don't care about the politics of sports. We're here to watch football. I want football to be played. I don't want to be watching just, I don't know if we're even going to have a season this year, but let's take an example. Let's take 11 guys on the field on one side of the team. You know, how many of them are black versus white, would you say?
I would say more than half.
Okay, so probably about 7 guys. All right, so where's the grievance of the white guy? You know, I mean, why are there 7 or 8 or 9 black guys out of, you know, 11? Why is that?
Well, usually it's been my experience that football coaches recruit the best players to every position without fear or favor on race, religion, creed.
And that's what I'm saying.
They really don't care.
And that's what America is founded on. So we've got 9 black guys out of 11 on a field or whatever, 7 or 8. And they're there because of their merits. They're there because they belong there. They're there because they are the best players. And this is what America is founded on, and they want to tear that down. They want to say no.
Hold on. I want to make sure I understand. Hold on a second. Who wants to tear that down?
Well, I'm not saying in football. I'm just saying in general. Because
you said they. I just want to make sure I understand. Who is they?
Yeah. They would be the left, the counterculture, people that are rioting, the Democrats, all that stuff. And I come out of Alabama. I have a strong pride for our country. And it really hurts me that we've got this
so,
culture now.
Hold on. Let me stop you along the way. You said okay. the left and the Democrats. So I'll just play devil's advocate just for fun. So what is the right doing to that you're so enamored
with?
Well,
they need to rise up too. They need to rise
okay.
up, too.
I just want to make sure.
This is a grievance against all of it. It's a grievance against the government. I'm not saying the right is right or the wrong. I feel like the left is wrong for sure. But, I would consider myself a conservative. But I just hate seeing them mixing, when I watch in the morning, I see Get Up and First Take and all that. And it's all just propaganda, in my opinion, left propaganda. And it's just following the herd mentality, if you know what okay. I'm talking about.
Well, I'm pretty familiar with those shows.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that you being in your position, you can only say what you can say. It's just one guy that lives here in the South that has his opinion. And, I live in Memphis where you were born and raised. And, that's my opinion. I just feel like we've been taken over. When politics comes into sports, we've got a big problem. We do.
Well, I will agree with some of what you said, Jonathan. There is not much balance on those programs. Hey, thanks for the call. Michael is in South Dakota. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Paul, I got a couple things. There was a gentleman that called in probably 2 weeks ago, and he was talking to you about why black people was mad. I don't know if you remember that call. He was talking about reparations.
I do remember it.
Well, as a black man, I like to say this. Everybody in this country is given a chance and an opportunity. That's all I need in this country. Don't nobody owe me nothing, because I got the capability to go out, go to school, get an education, and try to make a better life for myself. So I just want to say, don't nobody in this country owe you nothing. You go out and you work for it like everybody else do. You know, reparations, you know what? I wasn't back in the 1800s. My ancestors, they the one that picked cotton, took the lashes with the whips so it can make a better path for me. So don't nobody in this country owe me nothing, especially the government. So I'd like to say that, first off, Paul. And then another thing was when you had your guest on earlier, the lawyer, about liability, I know in the Midwest, most companies got approval to take liability off the companies and put it on the employees. And if they didn't go back to work, they would lose their job or terminate themselves at any unemployment benefits. So I'd like to ask, what do you think about that?
About the liability question?
Yes.
Well, I think it's going to be difficult to enforce because I would think if we're talking about fans, fans are going, as Rick Carl said, it's very likely going to be on the back of the ticket.
So you might not look at the back of that ticket, but it's back. It's sort of like a small print, right, Paul?
Yeah, I've never looked at the back of a ticket in my life going into a sporting event of you.
I haven't, and I played sports my whole life through college. And I never look at the back of a ticket.
I mean, I mean, every time I get on, every time I get on an airplane, do you think I ever look at the ticket? I guarantee you, on that ticket, you waive all liability.
To the airport, yes.
Yeah, I'm sitting there buying a car. I don't want to hear the guy tell me about it. I mean, just give me the car and get me out of here. I mean, that's how I am.
I agree with you, Paul. I just wanted to ask you that. I totally agree.
By the way, I appreciate what you said about your path in life. That's a really good attitude to make. And people can choose whatever course that makes them feel comfortable, but I really like what you said.
Exactly, because Paul, we all it come a point in everybody's life. We start out as kids, but it come a point where you get the opportunity to make a decision about your life. Nobody can make that decision for you. So you get the opportunity to make that decision. A man told me a long time ago, and I'm from North Carolina, Paul, and a man told me a long time ago when I was making a decision to go to college. He told me, he said, you get two decisions. You get a right decision and you get a wrong decision. He said, don't matter which one of those decisions you pick, you can make it right. You can make it what you want it to be. And I look at living in this world. Like, I get a decision, I get an option in life what I want to do. I can sit back and whine and cry about the system beating me down, the system did this, I grew up in a bad area. All those things has made me stronger to do more in life. You know, I don't need that to weigh me down. That's motivation to go out and make it what you want it to be, you know. And so the guy, that caller that called in a couple weeks ago, I was listening to it, and I was trying to call in, but the lines were busy, because I wanted to rip his ass. Like, come on, man. You talking about reparations and this and that. That ain't why black people mad. Black people mad because we just saw Mr. George Floyd murder on live TV, on every live stream. That's why we mad. These crimes been going on for years. They just coming to light now with all the technology that we have. It's nothing new. That stuff been happening for years. It's just coming to light more and getting more.
Michael, we're up against a break here. Thank you so much. You be well. Hope to hear from you again. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Let's check out Keith in South Carolina. Hello, Keith.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are doing great.
Hey, Paul. I'm taking a little shot at the last few calls you had because it's very disturbing. And the last caller from North Carolina, I get on him last. The first two callers, they're mixing sports and politics together. We talk about middle-aged white guys, and they have it twisted. The second guy called in. First thing he did, he broke down the geographic of the football team. He went from 7 to 9 being of color. Then he jumped in and he talked about them, those. And you ask who? He said the Democrats. Well, I'm willing to bet 99.9% of the time those 7 to 9 kids came from a Democratic background. So in other words, he's saying with this old plantation mentality, oh, you can entertain me, but anything else, I don't care a damn about it. The reason he's saying that is because we ain't talking about the protesters. Don't let the message get lost, people, in your blind agendas. Everyone is not treated the same. The guy from North Carolina called in and said about opportunities. Well, he must have been in a bar and got shook up and don't realize or had a moment to forget. If he did, he can reach back to his kids and see how they're going through life. Every door has a spring on it. Everyone don't walk through that door the same way. Just because he walked through that door, if he didn't stand there and bridge and brought somebody behind him that looked like him and think like him, it got cut off. If he doesn't believe that, we can take the most simple thing that we have in this world, sports. Sports, when you play as kids, because kids know no better, they do and react. They learn from the people that's in their life that mentor them. So as a youth, sports bond everyone. I play baseball, I play basketball, I play football, I ran track. Sports was great. It reminded me of the Marine Corps, okay? He's talking about success. I'm 55 now. I'm retired at age of 51, largest fire department in the state of South Carolina. I have my bachelor's degree. I have my master's degree. Now I'm open for old business. Do I think the next person will come behind me and have it easy? No, because the person I walked behind, I didn't have it easy. The obstacles was there. People got to stop being blind. Think about other people. Keep that door open. When you sit there and you separate it, if you can classify a football team, then come out and declassify them when you're talking about the important things about human life, equality.
Hey, Keith, I hate to interrupt. I really do. This is a fantastic call, but we're run out of time. I hope we can do this again. The mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, next.